Welcome to Modern Digital Applications, a podcast for corporate decision makers and executives looking to create or extend their digital business with the help of modern applications, processes, and software strategy. Now, welcome your host, a recognized industry thought leader in cloud computing and published author, bringing over 30 years of experience, Lee Acheson.
Moving your data is one of the trickiest parts of a cloud migration. During the migration, the location of your data can have significant impact on the overall performance of your application. If you don't migrate the data at the same time you migrate the services that are using the data, you risk needing to access your data over high latency links between your on-premise data centers and the cloud. This certainly can cause problems and issues during the course of a migration. Additionally, during the data transfer itself, keeping the data intact and in sync and self-consistent requires either tight correlation or worse, application downtime. The former can be technically challenging for your teams performing the migration, but the latter, application downtime, can be simply unacceptable for your overall business. Moving your data and the applications that utilize the data at the same time is often necessary to keep your application performance acceptable. Deciding how and when to migrate your data relative to your services, though, you know, that becomes a complex question. Often companies will rely on the expertise of a migration architect. You know, that's a role that can greatly contribute to the success of really any cloud migration. Whether you have a cloud architect on your team or not, there are three primary strategies for migrating application data to the cloud. Offline copy, master read-write replica switch, and a master-master migration. It doesn't matter if you're migrating an SQL database, a non-SQL database, or simply raw data files. Each migration method requires a different amount of effort, has a different impact on your application's availability, and presents a different risk profile for your business. As you'll see, the three strategies are fairly similar, but the differences do exist. An offline copy migration is the most straightforward method. Bring down your on-premise application, copy the data from your on-premise database to the new cloud database, then bring your application back up online in the cloud. An offline cloud migration is simple, it's easy, and fast, but you'll have to take your application down in order to execute it. If your data set is extremely large, your application may be offline for a significant period of time, too much time, which will undoubtedly impact your customers and your business. This is definitely something that you want to avoid. For most applications, the amount of downtime required in order to do an offline copy is generally just plain unacceptable. It's too much time involved. But if your business can tolerate some amount of downtime and your data set isn't too large, you should consider this method because it's easy, it's the least expensive, and by far the least risky method of migrating your data to the cloud. The second strategy is called the master read replica switch. Now, in this model, the goal of this technique is to reduce application downtime without significantly complicating the data migration itself. For this type of migration, you start with your master version of your database running in your on-premise data center. You then set up a read replica copy of your database in the cloud with a one-way synchronization from your data that's on your on-premise master to your read replica. At this point, you still make all data updates and changes to the on-premise master, and the master synchronizes those changes with the cloud-based read replica. One of the advantages of this model is this replication method is built-in, ingrained in virtually all database solutions today. It's a simple master-slave replica model. So you'll continue to perform data writes to the on-premise master even after you've gotten your application migrated and operational in the cloud. You'll accept the performance penalty with your write calls to the on-premise master for the time being, but your reads can be substantially faster because they can occur from the read replica. At some predetermined point in time, then, you'll switch over and swap the master and read replica roles. The cloud database becomes the master, and the on-premise database becomes the read replica. You simply move all write access from your on-premise database to your cloud database. That's the switch. You need a short period of downtime during the switchover, but the downtime is typically significantly less than what's required using an offline copy. However, it's still downtime. You still have to bring your application down, even if it is for a short period of time. So you need to assess exactly how much time your business can handle being down and schedule it appropriately for the lowest periods of time your application is running, you know, and the time that you can accept that amount of downtime. This is the best strategy if you can handle a small amount of downtime for the migration, but not as much downtime as the first method took. The third strategy is the master-master migration. This is by far the most complicated of the three data migration strategies and has the greatest potential for risk. However, if you implement it correctly, you can accomplish a data migration without any application downtime whatsoever, independently of how large the data set is. In this method, you create a duplicate of your on-premise database master in the cloud and set up a bi-directional synchronization between the two masters, synchronizing all data from the on-premise to the cloud, from the cloud to on-premise. Basically, you're left with a typical multi-master database configuration. Now, not all applications can work in a multi-master database configuration. In particular, if your application is heavily dependent on database transactions, this sort of model may not be the best model for you. But if you can work in a multi-master system, this method can actually work for you very effectively. After you've set up both databases, you can read and write data from either the on-premise database or the cloud database, and both will remain in sync. This will allow you to move your applications and the services that use this data set independently on your own schedule without needing to worry about migrating your data. In fact, to better control your migration, you can run instances of your application both on-premise and in the cloud. This would allow you to move traffic slowly to the cloud and to do canary testing and A/B testing and those sorts of things to prove that your cloud migration strategies are working correctly. You can move traffic back and forth as necessary without having to worry about the data that's migrated. If any problems arise during the migration, it's very easy to roll your application back and redirect traffic back to the on-premise version of your application and allow you to troubleshoot the issue later. At the completion of your migration, all you do is you simply turn off your on-premise master and use your cloud master as your only database. It's important to note, however, this method is not without complexity. Setting up multi-master databases is quite a complicated and comes with its own risk of issues such as skewed data and other sort of untimely data results. It's risky if you don't understand the impact of this sort of a model on your data set. For example, what happens if you try and update the same data simultaneously in both masters? Or what if you try and read data from one master before an update to the other master has synchronized the data? This data skew can cause significant problems for your application if your application isn't built to accept that sort of skew and live with that sort of skew. As such, this model only works if your application's data access patterns and data management strategies will support this model. You'll also need to add application-specific synchronization and sync resolution routines to handle, you know, sync-related issues as they arrive. If you happen to have a write in both masters and those writes override each other or collide with each other, you need a way to resolve that conflict, and it needs to be application-specific resolution that works for that conflict. If you make a change in one master and change the same data on another master, you'll end up with a sync conflict. Your application needs to be able to resolve that sync conflict in real time using application-specific logic. And that application-specific logic has to be built as part of this migration if it doesn't already exist. If your application, data, and business can handle this migration method, then consider yourself fortunate and use it. It's the cleanest model and the model that gives you the most options and the most flexibility in performing your cloud migration. It has risk if you don't understand the issues associated with data synchronization. But if you do understand those issues and your application can handle them, this method gives you by far the most flexibility. Any data migration comes with some risk, especially the risk of data corruption. Your data is most at risk while the migration is in progress. So the quicker you can complete the migration, the less overall risk your application will have. Therefore, don't stop a migration until you have completed the process or you've rolled back completely. Never stop a migration halfway through. Half-migrated data isn't useful to anyone. Risk of data corruption is especially high when migrating extremely large data sets. Offline data and copy transfer tools such as AWS Snowball can help you migrate large amounts of data. A Snowball, an AWS Snowball, is a device, a physical device, that you put in your data center, copy all your data on, and then ship that device physically using UPS, FedEx, whatever, to AWS, and they will take that data and transfer it into a cloud-based data store. It's a physical copy of your data from one place to the other. And those are useful models for transferring large amounts of data, you know, petabytes of data. But they only handle the actual transfer of the data. They don't do anything to help with the usage patterns of your application in using the data and the expectations of those applications while the migration is still going on. If you're interested in reading more information about migrating data to the cloud, take a look at my article called Three Strategies to Avoid Downtime When Migrating Data to the Cloud. It's an article written on the New Relic blog, and a link to this article is contained in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Modern Digital Applications with Lee Acheson. Lee helps executives keep up with industry trends and best practices in cloud computing, application scaling, DevOps, and applications modernization in order to stay in front of disruptive influencers. Subscribe to this podcast to ensure you get each new episode as it's available. Visit mdacast.com for all the resources and publications from Lee and his team. Thank you for tuning in to today's show.